For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Hi, I'm Dennis. I'm going to be teaching tonight from the Book of Mark, chapter 16, about what happened after the cross. We studied the cross last week. He says, the next evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Salome and Mary, the mother of James, went out and purchased burial spices to put on Jesus' body, a common practice. Very early on Sunday morning, just as the sunrise, they came to the tomb. On the way, they were discussing who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. It's big. But when they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled aside. Well, they entered the tomb, and there, on the right, sat a young man clothed in a white robe. It's an angel. We know that from the other accounts. It's clear that this was an angel from God. The women were startled. But the angel said, there's an angel right there. Do not be so surprised. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. And so, it's clear that Mark does believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, contrary to some liberal scholars who claim that Mark doesn't have the resurrection because that developed later in the development of the tradition. No eyes? What does it say? He isn't here. He's been raised from the dead. Signed, angel from God. He does believe in the resurrection. And the angel goes on now. He says, go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you'll see him there, just as he told you before he died. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, saying nothing to anyone because they were too frightened to talk. The end. This is the end of the Book of Mark right here. And we're like, wait, what happened then? You know, it's really just stops in the middle of the story. And in your Bible, if you look at the next part, it has a 20 verse or so ending. But if you look, there's little brackets around it, and it says in the margin, this section is not found in the early manuscripts. You know, it was a later edition. And then there's even after that, there's a short ending, a 2 or 3 verse ending. That wasn't in the early manual. That's even later. So you can see why copyists would supply an ending, seeing as how it ends in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, a writer has an urge to finish the story. And so these endings are generated from pieces from the other gospels, mostly. But one significant point is that the longer ending of Mark contains a false claim that everyone who's a Christian speaks in tongues and that they can handle poisonous snakes without being harmed and that they can drink poison without being harmed. And therefore you have snake handling churches. Based on this passage. Well, it's definitely not in Mark. And we have all of the best, oldest manuscripts are missing this. And so that tells you something right there. Eusebius, author of the church history, scholars, Jerome as well, say that they're missing from almost all the Greek manuscripts of their day, of which they had a lot more than we do. A lot of them got destroyed later. But these guys had a massive cache of thousands of manuscripts. And they're like, this is missing. And then we find it in the later manuscripts. Of course, when the King James was written, King James Version, a lot of these early manuscripts weren't available. And so they just took what they did have, and it had this ending, so they just wrote it in as part of the text. A big mistake. Well, it's very unusual for anything like this to happen. People wonder why doesn't Mark go on and explain Jesus' appearances? You know, he ate with the disciples, he did some teaching and so on, the Great Commission. One possibility is that what we have here is a damaged codex. Codices were book-like stack of parchment or papyrus, and as they wore, it was the outer leaves that would get worn first and most. And in a number of cases, we're missing the first and the last leaf has just disintegrated. And that might be the case here. It looks like we're missing the last leaf, which is the one that would go first. It would have to be very early, though, because everything we have is also missing that ending. Another possibility is that Mark, or more likely Peter, died at this point in the book. According to Papias, who's a very early father, early second century, said that Mark was written by John Mark, who is a nephew of Peter. He was Peter's assistant, and Peter was dictating this book to Mark. It's really Peter's gospel. But before they could finish it, Peter was taken out and executed. And Mark, according to Papias, out of respect, did not feel that he could fill in the rest of it himself and just left it like it was. Either one of those are very possible. Okay, what is clear is that Mark also believed that Jesus was raised from the dead, and this really becomes the topic that we want to think through tonight. Some pretty good reasons why we ought to think about believing this too. First of all, we know that the Jewish government leaders and the Romans as well were against Christianity. They tried to stomp it out. They were imprisoning and executing Christians. Why not simply exhume and produce the body and say, he's right here. He did not rise from the dead. It would be really easy to prove that. It never happened. And, boy, that's curious. It suggests really that they weren't able to produce the body. It wasn't there anymore. Then, two, there's a church today in Jerusalem called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is where Jesus was supposedly buried. And yet to locate where to put that church, it was built in the days of Constantine, whose wife wanted to build a cathedral over the death, the burial place of Jesus. Nobody knew where it was. They had to send a commission down, and they, you know, studied and interviewed people and finally decided this is it. Nobody really knows whether it is or not. But that's really curious to think about. To pay no attention to where your leader of your religion is buried, that doesn't happen. Everyone else, every other leader, you know, they know where he is, and that's venerated. This one's being venerated today, but again, it was built 300 and some years after Jesus lived. And it goes to suggest that everyone knew his burial place didn't matter because he wasn't in there anymore. Then two, the ancient world had a negative attitude toward women. And they didn't think they were very credible. They thought they were kind of hysterical, a lot of offensive stereotypes, but they're widely held in the ancient world. And so if you are writing a phony account of Jesus's resurrection, it's really hard to believe that ancient people would have had that reported by women. The fact that all of the Gospels say the first people there and the ones that saw it first were women is a mark of authenticity. That's something you wouldn't write. if you were trying to create a phony story. That's really interesting. Then too, the early followers of Jesus refused to deny his that they saw him alive after, and met with him, talked to him after his death, that he rose from the dead, even though it cost them their lives, often with torture. Yeah, that's really hard to imagine why they would do that. This guy, the author of this book, Peter, killed by crucifixion. We saw how cruel and awful that was. He would rather be crucified. We have his last book written right before he was taken out and wasted. And, you know, he's really strong on it. Wonder why they would do that. We'll think about that some more later. When I was young, we went to a church where the pastor came in, a new pastor came in who was not a believer in the Bible. He was a liberal theologian. And he suggested that, you know, whether Jesus actually rose from the dead or not doesn't matter. It's the Easter faith. That's what's important. Well, that's not what Paul thinks. That's not what the authors of the New Testament think at all. I want to argue to you that apart from an actual, literal, physical resurrection, all faith or following of Jesus collapses into a cloud of dust. There's absolutely nothing left unless this is true. Let's think through this a little bit more. What's the difference between a man being crucified and rising from the dead on the one hand versus just being crucified on the other hand? Obviously, it's the difference between the natural and the supernatural. A pretty big category shift. You know, thousands of people were crucified. Crucifixion was not unusual. It was very common in the Roman Empire. And just imagine the story ending there, and Jesus was crucified, and so he was dead. Boom. yeah. let's work with that a little bit. Let's suppose that Jesus didn't rise. What do the authors of Scripture have to say about that? In the first place, there's Jesus himself. It says one day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove that you are from God." Jesus answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So, in other words, no, I'm not going to constantly do magic tricks for you like a court jester or something like that. I'm just going to give you one sign. I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. And that's it. So, that means by Jesus' own testimony, if he didn't rise, then he's false. And that's a test that he laid down himself. He also fulfilled, if he didn't rise from the dead, he failed to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Like in Isaiah 53, it says, though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, that's that sin offering where you're like an animal being burned on the altar, he will see his offspring and he will prolong his days. I don't have time to get to go into the whole context of this statement, but read Isaiah 53 for yourself. It's very clear. He died. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He was buried. And then after that, God prolongs his days. It's a resurrection. Yeah. And there's others as well. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the apostles, the guys that his 12 disciples, Paul, are liars. And this is a view that they themselves advance. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then we are found to be false witnesses about God. Remember, Paul didn't always believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He was killing Christians. He was imprisoning Christians. And on his way up to Damascus to get another batch, Jesus confronted him on the road, and he fell to the ground, and Jesus said, why are you persecuting? What's your problem? Paul says, who are you? He didn't even know who it was. And he said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. Well, Paul became a believer real quick, right there on the spot. And he stayed a believer the rest of his life and paid a huge price for that. But he knew who had met him and talked to him on that road. Peter says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This word here, invented stories, in Greek is mouthos, myths. That preacher, that unbelieving preacher I was talking about, he was always talking about the power of myth and how religious myth moves the heart like nothing else and so forth. Peter says these are not myths, actually. This is eyewitness space-time history. And in this book, 2 Peter, he says, the time has come for me to be killed. And he went to his death at that point. Yeah, so the apostles are liars. If Jesus didn't rise, we can just take the whole New Testament and chuck it out the window and throw it into the fire. It's worthless. If, you know, they're not just lying about a peripheral thing like, no, officer, I wasn't going over 55 or whatever. It's, this is the center of their entire, you know, worldview, and the gospel that they're preaching has a resurrected Christ. So either that happened or it didn't happen. If it didn't happen, then the Christian faith is completely worthless. We are ridiculous. We're fools for sitting here and wasting our time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Sorry, you just wasted all your... And then he says in 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Your belief that you could be forgiven, like we talked about last week, that you could have your sins placed on Christ to be judged, wrong. If he didn't rise from the dead, that's not true. Your faith is worthless. What about those who have fallen asleep, your relatives, your friends that have died, believing they were going to heaven? Sorry, they're all lost. They suffer the same fate that anyone else does. Boom. Yeah. So, again, the difference between the natural and the supernatural. God is pretty supernatural, right? We could say this a different way, that it's a product of man or a product of God. That would be another way to look at it. Why did these guys claim to see Jesus alive? They never attained much size. They weren't famous. They never got any political power. Didn't seem to show much any interest in that. They never got wealthy. Jesus talked about his so poor he didn't have a place to lay his head. Paul talks about his ragged clothing and the hunger that he often suffered. They were sacrificing themselves, not gaining anything. Most of them died, often with torture. Oh, it's believed that all of the disciples died, and Paul as well. And the only one that didn't was the Apostle John, who lived to a great old age and died naturally. But he was also in prison for a sizable part of his life. So what are they getting out of this lie? People will say, well, you know, people die for lies all the time. Look at the fascists in World War II. Yes, that's true. However, The difference is, in this case, since they're saying it was my personal eyes that met and talked to Jesus after he was dead, if that didn't happen, they would know that this was a lie. And so we can say, well, people will die for a lie, but not when they know it's a lie. They think it's true. That's why they die for it. And so we have a pretty perplexing question here. Really deserves some thought. Okay. Let's turn it around. Instead of what if the crucifixion didn't happen, let's say, well, what if it did happen? What about that? Then Jesus is completely verified, and God has put his mark and shown, this is my son. He's for real. As we read in Romans 1, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead. Yeah, not too many people getting raised from the dead. And so that must have really impacted the people that saw it. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then he is the sole authoritative spokesman for God. No one else can claim what he does. And 2 Timothy explains it that this was God's plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ Jesus. And now he's made all of this plain to us by the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who broke the power of death and showed us the way to everlasting life through the good news, the gospel. Who are you going to believe when it comes to leading us into the afterlife? How about somebody who's actually been there? Yeah. And that's who you want to give credibility to, somebody that's actually overcome death already. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then that shows that God accepted his sacrifice and is fully adequate. Romans 4 says he was delivered up, that is, on the cross because of our transgressions, but he was raised from the dead because of our justification. When the priest in the Old Testament went inside the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, nobody knew what was going to happen next. It wasn't until he came back out again. It was like, yes, God accepted that. And that's exactly what happened here. If Jesus did rise, then there is an afterlife. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about how God not only raised the Lord, but he will also raise us up through his power. Why believe that we live on after we're dead? Because Jesus came back from the death. That's why. And boy, so this is really pretty powerful, isn't it? This controls everything, the question of the resurrection of Christ. There is one more thing mentioned in Romans 6 about how because as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too can walk in a newness of life. So this isn't just the world to come. This actually affects us here and now. This newness of life is the victorious spiritual life that God, steps us into. It's a growth process. I don't have time for it tonight. Let's go to this. Wrap this up. Here's a question for you. Is it possible that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes or no? This is a yes-no question. There is no middle ground here. Because if you're like, well, I think maybe not. Well, if it's maybe, then your answer is yes, right? Maybe means it is possible. Or is your answer, no, that's not possible. Okay, well, that's a very interesting. Now, that's a very interesting. How do you know that? It's not possible that Jesus rose from the dead? That's almost a truth claim that is infinite, like omniscience, like you've searched the entire universe and you know that this is not possible. People will tell you, well, observation over millennia proves that dead people don't rise from the dead. But that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? I mean, if this was happening all over the place, then there wouldn't be anything objectionable or notable about it. So, Yeah, I'm not sure. I know when I was an unbeliever, I would have wanted to check that. But it was difficult because how can you know that? Isn't there actually a possibility? And that brings us to the other answer. Yes, it's possible. Well. So it is possible. It must be possible. And we saw a lot of reasons to think it maybe actually happened. That seemed like maybe the best explanation for the phenomena that we looked at. But, a lot of people say, well, anything's possible. So you know, it isn't admitting much. I think it's admitting something. Yeah, so it's possible that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, that would be the most important thing you could ever imagine. The whole question of the afterlife, everything tips on this question. So if you think that it is possible, and you're a reasonable enough person to admit that, then why not ask? Jesus said, if anybody wants to know whether my teaching comes from God or whether I just make this stuff up, you can come to God and he will show you. God is real. He talks. And we can go and ask him and say, okay, I don't know, man. But it says that you will answer if I ask, so I'm asking. What's wrong with that? What harm is that going to do? Yeah. If God answers you and starts to move in your life, you start getting a sense. It's going to come as a sense, probably. It's different for different people. God knows what you need to be convinced. And it's probably different than what he showed me. That's all right. You expect that. But yeah, what is the danger in turning to God and honestly, not just as a party joke, but honestly saying, did Jesus rise from the dead? Is that actually true? Wow, what if he answers? It'd be really sweet. Yeah, that would change everything. So you should think about that, doing that tonight. Or if you prefer, you could always read a book right here. It gets into everything we talked about tonight that's in there, but also half a dozen other lines of evidence that we didn't get to. Time to pray. Wow, God. So you did rise from the dead. What Jesus went through was not pointless. It didn't just go that his experience of the cross didn't just sail off into the nether gloom, but he came back. That's the statement. That's your statement. That's your stamp of approval on this whole thing and the evidence really that it was real and not just some nutcase claiming it. Thank you for doing this for us, Jesus. And I pray for everyone here that's thinking about maybe calling out to you, you know, just with that question. Maybe what we call the doubter's prayer, and like I'm not sure, but I'm open, you know, just letting you know that. I pray that people will be bold enough to do that and honest enough with themselves to be honest with yourself and say, what harm can I do? Yeah. We pray for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.